And good to have this wonderful cool weather inside with the air conditioner running. Isn't that good, huh? Have you stopped and thought about how thankful you are for air conditioner? I mean, you know, come on. This is great. If you don't believe it, ask Chris. He was in New Jersey in the basement without air condition, and he suffered some. I want you to turn, if you will, to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Being a conqueror or a casualty? Being a conqueror or being a casualty? And how do you become a conqueror so you'll not become a casualty? Turn with me to Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to look at that tonight for a few moments. We can. And as we turn to this chapter, I'm reminded of Moses there in chapter 1 and verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and this is the only time I know, or the first time anyway, where Moses is called a servant of the Lord. He was all that time. But God waited till the last there to refer to him as a servant of the Lord. It came to pass, the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, but Moses saying, Moses' minister saying, look at verse 2. And this seems almost like a harsh statement here. My servant, Moses, my servant, is what? He's dead. It's just sort of there. Now, I have to tell you that Moses became a casualty. Remember when he struck that rock the second time? He struck it, and instead of speaking to it as God had warned him, and he became a casualty. Now, Joshua does not become a casualty. If you look at his last chapter of his life, you'll see he was not a casualty. He probably, like we all do, made some wrong decisions, but not as severe as Moses did. I'm going to be dealing for our evening service, one service, Lord willing. Moses had an anger problem. I can take you four or five places where his anger just showed up. And you got to be careful with anger. And sometimes when we get angry, we have a tendency to call that righteous anger. Very seldom is it righteous anger. It's just anger. Moses experienced that, and because he pastored the First Baptist Church of Israel. The Israelites was his church, and boy, I will tell you what, that was a group of people that was very difficult to get along with. Now, as we look at this, but Joshua became a tremendous man of God. And I'll tell you, Moses would be a hard act to follow, if I could word it that way. I mean, that would be hard, because he was one who knew God face to face. God had met with him, and just tremendous man of God. But now Joshua's got to follow his footsteps. And he knows he's got to conquer the land of Canaan. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the electric lights and all those lights. He's got to conquer that. So he's got an assignment ahead of him. And I want you to notice some things here tonight that I hope will help us, because we all want to conquer. We all want to be conquerors, not a casualty. And someone said it well when he said, it's not how you start out in life, it's how you wind up. There's so much truth in that. I can name good men that have ended up not very well. One that just ended up well, you may not be familiar with the name of Tom Farrow. Just lost his name for a moment. I don't know if he died. He died on Monday night. At 7 o'clock in the evening, Tom went home to be with the Lord. He was only 69, and they'll have a service for him, I think, up in the wilds here soon. And he was a good man. I thought about how Tom finished well. He conquered. He wasn't a casualty. But I can name some other folks in ministry. Is it warm in here, or is it just me? Can we get some air on? So if I pass out, it'd be, you know, I appreciate it. How many are warm besides me? Well, good. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it, Brother Gary. All right. What is it? How do you become, how do you maintain to be a conqueror instead of a casualty? I want to give you three things tonight. Obviously, you know my preaching, few subpoints with it. First of all, you become a conqueror when you fulfill God's purpose for your life. When you fulfill God's purpose for your life. Now, everything that happens in our lives are all arranged by God. All the events. I firmly believe in the providence of God. And when you come to this chapter, God, and I'm not going to take time to go back in the past here, but God was preparing Joshua to be the new leader. Way back, God was preparing him for this. And God had a purpose for Joshua. Leave that for just a moment and go with me, if you will, to the book of Deuteronomy. And go to the 31st chapter, if you will, of Deuteronomy. And I want to look at chapter 31, verse 7, verse 14, 23. And then we'll look at chapter 34, verse 9. But look over here as God was preparing him. Look there at verse 7. And God called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage. Now, we're going to see that there in the book of Joshua three times. But Moses is reminding him here, be strong and of good courage, for thus must go with his people into the land. Be strong and of good courage, because you're going to go in, you're to take them into the land. Now, Moses couldn't do that. You know, I thought about the wonderful grace of God. God is so good. Moses did make it to the promised land. How about the Mount of Transfiguration? Remember that story? On the mount, and we know that Moses was there. I believe God, just his wonderful grace is far, and mercy is far beyond my understanding. I just thought, you know, he could have had any of the Old Testament prophets, but he has Moses. I understand, because he represented the law, Elijah the prophets. But just to think, Moses did get to go into the land hundreds of years later. And I thought here, notice the charge and the challenge in verse 7. Calling here is what I want to look at here, as well as the challenge. Moses called unto Joshua, verse 7, in the sight of all Israel. He said it all in front of Israel, be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn unto their father to give thee. Thou shalt cause them to inherit it. Right here, he was called. He was called. I have been on many ordination councils. And remember when I was ordained, my ordination service lasted about 3.5 hours being interviewed. It was like the half of the tribulation period. I remember it so well. And hard time. But because of where I graduated from, they figured I was a heretic. I found out later some that was checking on me were become later on heretics. So that's just the way life is. But think with me here, his calling. Every person who's in the ministry needs to know it's God's calling. Got to be calling. When God brings the pastor that he'll have for this ministry, got to be God's calling. He's God's calling. Look with me at verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, behold, this thy days approach that thou must die. He's talking to the Lord to Moses. Call Elijah, or call Joshua. Here it is again. So he's in verse 7, now in verse 14, and present yourself into the tabernacle of the congregation, may give him a charge. So we've seen the call and the challenge, now the charge. God is going to charge him with this great responsibility. And I remember on more than one occasion that I have been given a charge to one who was ordained. And the charge, of course, was to be faithful to the things of God and to know the calling of God and the challenges were facing him. And then look there in verse 23, because again, he brings it up. And he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge. So twice, you give him the charge. I like that. I mean, by this time, Joshua's got the idea, I'm going to lead the children of Israel into the Canaan land. And we see here, again, and be strong and of good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear to them, and I will be with thee. And then you go to chapter 34. So here in chapter 31, three times, he reminds him the challenge and the charge and the call, all from God, the Lord. Look with me in chapter 34, and look at verse 9 here. And as we look at this, Joshua, verse 9, I've highlighted this verse. Here he deals with his credentials. We've looked at his call, we've looked at his charge, we looked at his challenge, but look at his credentials. What are the credentials of a leader? Called, challenged. What are those? Wisdom. Those are his credentials. You know, I struggle. I like to look the news. Oh, I can only handle about 10 minutes, 15 minutes. It's just, we are majoring stupidity in this country. We're majoring in it. When we're told to wear masks, we're told to take the vaccine, and we let illegal aliens come in, knowing they got it, and release them. We're stupid. But let that not be said of our calling of a pastor. Let him do what is right. Forgive that little. I just get. There's Moses. There's Moses getting angry. On this case, I think it's okay. I think it's okay. Somebody agree with me. Thank you. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. Get that. Full of the spirit of who? Wisdom. The spirit here is the Holy Spirit. He's the one who gave us wisdom. And I will tell you that a pastor who pastors a church needs that wisdom. I don't remember how many times down through the years I've counseled people and tried to help people. And the things I said later on, I didn't know I said that. It was good stuff. I wish the Lord would have kept that in my mind so I could write it down. I thought it was so good, but the Lord just removed it from my mind. But they told me, they said, man, that was good advice you gave. And I'm thinking, what advice? The spirit of wisdom. I think I told you the story of a lady in one of the churches that I had did an interim in, a good person. And her and her husband came to see me, and she was really having a difficult time speaking and getting her words together. And I'm not a doctor, but God gave me some advice, some wisdom that day. And she was talking about how her husband wasn't good to her, and she was struggling, all this. And she said, what do you think my problem is? I said, I'm going to tell you what your problem is, but in order for that to happen, I want you to leave here, and I want you to go right to the hospital. She was having a stroke. The arteries in the neck were closing down. One of them was completely closed. The other was 80% closed. If she'd have waited another day, she probably would have died. Now, where did I get that from? I'm not a doctor, but God is. He laid that on my heart to say that. Thank you. If that's Trump or somebody, just tell him I'll talk to him later. And we do want him back. Shut up, Stevens. All right. So we see here the fulfilling of his purpose as we looked at his calling and we looked at his credentials and his challenge there and his charge. That's what you want here for this church. You want that kind of a person. Now, he'll make mistakes. I made so many. If I go back in my ministry, I've asked God to erase some of the stupid things I've done. And I got a wonderful wife that doesn't remind me of them. Hallelujah for that. But I'll tell you what, pray for his wisdom. That's his credentials. Look at verse 9, and here's where I believe Joshua literally got ordained. Look at it. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. You know, when you ordain something, buddy, I've been to many of you, lay your hands on them. You're saying, I approve. And the children of Israel hearkened to him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. So the very first thing that you to be a conqueror is to understand the fulfilling of God's purpose for your life, what God is doing. I remember years ago when I graduated from school, I didn't know what I wanted to do. Yes, I did. I knew exactly what. I wasn't saved. My whole goal was to work for the telephone company. Why is that? Because I was a poor kid. I had to buy my own clothes and everything to get through school. Many times my own food. I was poor. But I knew that they had a retirement program and I'd be well taken care of. And it just got a hold of me. I'm going to work for the Newark Telephone Company. And I remember going twice. I still remember Brother Dove. After the third time I went, three times, he said, no, I've told you twice, we don't have anything for you. I went the fourth time, and the fourth time I said, look, I'll work for nothing for the first 3 months. The president of the telephone company heard me. Came out, called up Ivan Dove, and he said, hire that Calvin guy. It will pay him, because that's the kind of people we're looking for, who want to be loyal. And I thought I had it made. Then God called me. God saved me within that time that I was in that telephone company for half a year. And God saved me. And all of a sudden, that call was so crystal clear. God was calling me in some kind of a ministry. And I no longer desired to be there any longer. You see, God had a purpose. And God allowed me to go on in my life. Now think with me, going back to the book of Joshua there. And look with me, because when I think about here, this man is going to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And I want you to go to the third chapter for a moment of the book of Joshua. And there are three statements, two in chapter 3 and one in chapter 5. Because I want you to notice, as Joshua now is going to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, look there with me in verse 5 of chapter 3. Well, what words these are. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves. I like this. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. What a statement. Boy, you know, you've been in captivity all these years, for over 400 years. Listen, God's going to do something here. You've been in the wilderness, now you're going into the promised land. But look down here. I want you to notice then. Israel was standing on the brink of a new life. Look in verse 8. And that thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. They were standing on the brink of a new life. When the priests went into that water, guess what? The waters parted. And they went on dry ground. And so here they were, going to go into a land with milk and honey. And many of these Jews, by the way, had bad breath. Leeks and garlics and onions. I like onions. You don't eat too many when you're going to speak to people. But think with me in verse 15. In order to live the new life, look in verse 8. or verse 15, and as they bear the ark, were come to Jordan, and the feet of the priests had bear the ark was dipped into the brim of the water, for the Jordan overflowed all its banks at this time of year. No doubt it was the fall time. It was the harvest time and a lot of rain. So now he says, you'll not only be standing on the brink of a new life, but you've got to step into the brim of death. When they went into that water, it was symbolic of dying to everything they were in the past. And I want to tell you something. You want to be a conqueror in your life, you got to die to everything that you want to be. You got to die to everything that God doesn't want you to be so you can have the new life in Christ. And when they went into that Jordan, it was symbolic of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And I will tell you today, we're standing on the brink of a new life, stepping into the brim of death. And go to chapter 5. Look at verse 19. As he was standing on the brink, stepping into the brim, and now we find him starting over the border into a new life. Look at verse 19. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and camped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. They're in Jericho. That's the promised land. They are there now. But they had to die first. What is it in your life that you have to die to? Think about that. Moses, if he could have learned to die to his anger, he probably could have led the children of Israel into the promised land. Now, I'm not downing Moses. I'm just telling you fact. So the first is fulfilling God's purpose for your life. The second is, watch this, feeling God's presence in your life. Feelings. Hey, preacher, I didn't think Christians go on feelings. You don't go on feelings about your salvation. But I'll tell you something. When you have the peace of God, the pastor understanding, I don't know what you call it, but I call feeling good. It's a wonderful thing to experience the peace, the presence of God that gives you peace. And then look with me. How do you get that peace? He's going to give you three things here. Three times. One in verse 6, one in verse 7, and one in verse 9. There are three statements there. And the statements are all the same, but in each one, their wording is a little different here. First of all, verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. He will say the same thing in verse 7, and he will say the same thing in verse 9. But then notice here, be occupied with God's will. That's what he's talking about here. Look there in verse 6. Be strong and of good courage, for in this people shall thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear to his father to give it to them. In other words, nothing better than being the will of God. Hey, can I say this? It feels good to be in the will of God. It really does. It feels pretty miserable to be out of the will of God. And when you're in the will of God, that's a good feeling. And he said, Moses, he said to Josh, you're in the will of God. You're going to do this. Then notice, secondly, because you find, before I go on, he said, the land. Leave that for a moment because you're going to go into the land. Whew. Now, Israel experienced three different places. They experienced Egypt, right? The wilderness, right? Now the Canaan land, right? Now, Egypt is symbolic of the depraved life of a person without Christ. You know, people who don't know Christ, they live and they what? Die. Live and die. Till you know Christ, that's all life is about, is to live and die. Live and die. Then there's the wilderness. That's a picture of the defeated life. For 40 years, they wandered around in a desert for 40 years. A place no bigger than New Jersey. Probably just as hot and humid. For 40 years, they just, if you read the book of Exodus, Numbers, it's all about a defeated people. Matter of fact, they came to the place more than once where they said, we want to go back to Egypt because where we had the leeks and the garlics and the youngins and bad breath. And there are a lot of people who are Christians that get saved, but they're wandering around. They have no purpose in life. But the Canaan land is a picture of the dynamic Christian life. Turn with me to Deuteronomy, back up there to Deuteronomy, and go there to the sixth chapter, if you will, please. And look with me at verse 23. Underline it. Moses' last words, some of his last words, he's given instruction. He said, and he, that's God, brought us out. From thence they what? Might bring us in. He brought us out that what? Might bring us in. And you know why they were brought out? They were out of bondage, out of captivity. God saved them. But they're defeated for 40 years until every... Can you imagine? Listen, I've had many funerals in my life, but not as many as Moses had. I mean, they were burying people everywhere. For 40, they just wandered around and died. He brought us out that he might bring us in. God didn't just save you to wander around on this planet doing nothing. He has a purpose for us. And that purpose feels good. To be in the center of God's will. He was occupied with. Now go back to our passage, if you will, please. Because we see here the second one is verse 7. If you want to be a conqueror, you must not only be in God's will, but you must be obedient to God's word. Where do you get your will from? God's word. Look at verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe what? To do according to all the law. The law here refers to the Word of God. You're to do everything that the Word of God says. So to live a victorious Christian life, you must not only be in the will of God, but you must be in the Word of God. In the Word of God. Look with me to the third point in verse 7 or verse 9. Here's the third time. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? That's the same thing he said in verse 6 and very similar in verse 7. Now in verse 9, have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage and be not afraid, neither be dismayed. Now underline that word dismayed. It's a very strong word. It means, ready for this? It means they have a breakdown. A person who has a breakdown is in dismay. The word itself has the idea of falling apart out of what? Note the word, out of fear. You know, folks, when you fear God, you don't need to fear anything else. When you fear God, it's the right kind of fear. But he said in verse 9, and just don't, listen, don't fall apart. So the third command is not only to be occupied with God's will, to be obedient to God's word, are you ready? To be overtaken by God's world and not this world. You know, turn with me to the New Testament and go with me to the book of Colossians and go with me to chapter 3. You know, there are three worlds. Really? Yeah. This world is the physical world. Right? Hello? Physical world. When I was up Talksaway, man, I enjoyed God's beauty of this world. It's great. I love it. I love the spring when all the flowers are, boy, God's world. I love the fall when every leaf on the trees turn orange. You may come another color, but I'm colorblind. They all look orange to me. I like it. We're talking about this world. There's another world. And you realize that other world is the fallen world. When we talk about what's happened in our country, this is a fallen world. The physical world is good. The fallen world is bad. But hallelujah, there's the Father's world. Look over there in Colossians chapter 3. If ye be risen with Christ, underline those true words, with Christ, seek those things which are where? Above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. With Christ, where Christ, that's the Father's world. That's the Father's world. Now, you get to that wonderful world through your spirit, your human spirit that communes with the Holy Spirit. It's called prayer. It's called talking to God. It's called taking God as His Word and believing God. I enjoy the Father's world. I like starting my day in the Father's world. Wow. And I make a big mistake. I go in and turn the news on, and that's the fallen world. Then I go out and get on my mower, and I have to cut grass on this physical world. I hope there'll be no John Deere tractors in the new heavens and the new earth. Whatever. Be overtaken by the Father's world. You want to have that peace that passes all understanding? Be obedient to God's word. Be overtaken by God's world. And be occupied with God's will. And I guarantee you'll have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Nothing like it. Quickly, my third point. Not only are you to fulfill God's purpose for your life. Joshua, fulfilling God's purpose. And he's feeling the presence of God. I enjoy feeling the presence of God. I hope you do. But thirdly, follow God's priority in your life. What is God's priority in life? Well, thank you for asking me. Go back to chapter 1 of Joshua. It's found in verse 8. Let me read that verse because it is a priority that the Word of God becomes a priority in your life. It's a priority. This book of the law. Now, he's referring to the Old Testament. We got it all now. Amen. So just say, the Bible. The book of the law, the Bible, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mightest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Thou shalt make way prosperous. And that thou shalt have good success. Now let me just quickly sum this up tonight. Because in order to have the peace of God that passes all understanding. And therefore be a conqueror. You must not only fulfill God's purpose for your life. And feel God's presence in your life. But you must make the word of God a priority in your life. There are four things in this verse that I want to draw out quickly. About the word of God. Look at verse 8. This book of the law shall not what? Depart what? Out of thy mouth. You need to talk about the Bible. Talk about it. Listen, folks, that ought to be some of our conversations and our children, ourselves. The Word of God. I hope you make a practice when your new pastor comes, whoever it may be, that you take his sermons and you go home and you talk about them in a positive way. You don't need roast preacher. I've been roasted many a time. But don't roast him. Take the word of God and apply it to your heart and talk about it. Talk about it. Talk about it. Gossip about the word to other people. Not only are you to talk about it, but you're to take it into your thought life. Note the word meditate. Now, what does it mean to meditate? There are three things you can. In order to the word meditate means literally to take it off of the scriptures, off of the pages, in print, and put it into your heart so you can put it into your practice. Look here. There are three words. You can't meditate unless you first memorize. Got to memorize some scripture. You memorize scripture? I get tired of people saying, I'm too old to memorize. Don't act like the people in Washington. You're stupid. You got the Holy Spirit of God will be glad to help you memorize scripture. Amen? He'll be glad to help you put it into your mind. So, memorize. Then personalize your scripture. I'll get it out. Tongue tie. Make it personal. By the way, don't read the book of Joshua like it's something of the past. Everything in every book of the Bible, you live presently. You enjoy it today. Because God said it. He put him down there for our example. That we can live the Christian life. So you personalize, you memorize, then you visualize. What can I do to be a better Christian? Never ask God what you can do to better be a better Christian, because He'd be more than happy to show you. Sometimes you may not like it, but He'll show you. He'll show you. So you talk about it, you take it into your thought life, you trust it to do its work. Notice the words here, observe to do. You trust it to do its work. God's Word is a marvelous, miracle-working book. Wow. It's great, isn't it? And then number four, thank Him for its accomplishments. What are the accomplishments? They make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Now, that's not these health and wealth thought here, folks. That's not what He's talking about. He's talking about God will give you. Listen, there are people who are millionaires, trillionaires maybe, who would love to have the peace that I have tonight. They'd love to have it. They can't buy it. That's good success. That's prosperity. And I'm thankful for it. I thought about some of the scandals that we've seen, and I'm not going to go into detail, but people who just with millions and billions of dollars don't know what to do with it. Because they have no peace. There's a war going on. So I'm thankful tonight that I can and you could be a conqueror and not a casualty. Be a conqueror by, first of all, fulfilling God's purpose, feeling God's presence, following God's priority, this book. Somebody said, he who has a Bible that is falling apart is himself not falling apart. Amen.